In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The gospel of today should sound pretty familiar to us because we heard the same gospel last week. And actually, all of the gospel readings for the month of Hatur prepare us for the month of Kiyak, which is where we prepare to accept the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all of the readings in the month of Hatur speak about the Word of God. And today, it speaks to us about the parable of the sower, like we heard last week. But this week, it didn't give us the explanation that Christ provided that he did last week. Although it's written in the Gospel of Matthew, it wasn't, the church didn't put it forth this week. And if we notice, when the Lord spoke in parables to the people, he spoke to them in ways that they could relate into their everyday life. So he wanted the Word of God to be part of their life, their everyday life. So he gave them these parables, so when they're working in the field, they can remember what it is that he was teaching them. And actually, I think I wanted to speak today about the power of the Word of God. I think many of us struggle, or many people struggle, with reading Scripture and the Word of God. And often in confession, we ask, do you read the Bible? No, I don't have time. We have many excuses why. We don't have time. I don't understand it. I'm not interested in it. We have many excuses why we don't read the Scripture. But maybe if we understood the power of the Word of God, this might encourage us to hopefully read the Scripture on a regular basis. The first is that the Word of God is living and active. The Word of God is living and active. It's not like any other book that we just read, get some information, and maybe we might retain a story or something of that nature. But it's living and active. St. Paul says to the Hebrews, he says, "For the Word of God is living and powerful." Living and powerful. And actually, if you go back to the original Greek, this word powerful is actually closer to active. And that's why I put here living and active. So it's something that is alive. How is the Scripture alive? How is the Bible alive? The first is that it makes, or it's able to direct us to salvation. No other book can claim that this book directs us to salvation. St. Paul says, when he was in Antioch, in the book of Acts, he says to the people in Antioch, "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of this salvation has been sent." So he says, the word of this salvation. So he's telling them that the words that I'm preaching to you are the means of salvation, the means of our inheriting the kingdom of heaven. So how can we not read something that is going to give us or lead us to the kingdom of heaven? Oftentimes you go into these bookstores and you see maybe on the first little table you walk in, Get Rich in 60 Minutes. You know, all these little get rich books. And I bet they sell like wildfire, or else they wouldn't be in the front there. So everybody's looking on reading these books on how to get rich and how to become wealthy and how to handle your wealth. But here God is telling us we have a book that tells us the way of salvation, how to be wealthy for eternity. But yet we find excuses not to read. How is it alive? First, it is able to direct us to salvation. Second, it is the source of wisdom. It is the source of wisdom. Many people look after philosophies and different, you know, ideas as a source of wisdom. But God tells us His Word is the source of our wisdom. Saint Anthony the Great, he was ignorant. He didn't know how to read. One of the philosophers came to visit him, and he spoke with them. And at the end of their conversation, the philosopher said, "Where did you get all of this wisdom if you can't read?" It's from the Word of God, from hearing the Word of God, from his prayer life. This gave him wisdom that surpassed even that of the philosophers. St. Paul tells his disciple Timothy, he says, "And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Wise for salvation. Not wise in the world, how to trick somebody, how to sneak to get something by deception, how to cheat on your taxes, how to find this loophole. No, but wise for salvation. How to make us wise for salvation. So how does it make it, how is the Word of God alive? It's able to direct us to salvation, the source of our wisdom, and also it's capable of giving life. The Word of God is capable of giving life, not physical life like the womb from the woman, but it's giving spiritual life. It says, the Lord says, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." The words that Christ is speaking to us is the source of our life. And it comes to know, you know, it's not by coincidence that the that the Lord Jesus Christ was termed the Logos of God, or the Wisdom of God, or the Word of God, because He gives life. So just as He Himself in His flesh and blood gives life, so does the Word of God. It gives life to those who read it, who have a relationship with it, and those who devote the time to read it. The Word of God is also powerful in that it is sharp. It's very sharp, like a weapon, like a sword. St. Paul continues in the book of Hebrews and says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So he says it's sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing what both the soul and the spirit. So we can ask ourselves, is the soul and spirit, is this something that we can divide? No, the spirit is is the result of the combination between the body and the spirit. Then you have the soul. So actually these things aren't separable. The soul and the spirit are not separable. But yet he says the word of God separates these things. The joint and the marrow. Can we separate the joint from the marrow that's inside the joint? It'd be very difficult, something that's inseparable. So what St. Paul is saying, that even the things that we consider as being inseparable, the Word of God is sharp and can separate these things. Why did he use here particularly a two-edged sword to describe the Word of God? For two reasons. Because first, the Word of God, you know, two edges, it has one edge on, you know, facing the enemy, the opponent, and one edge facing me. The Word of God is like this. One edge can act as a means of rebuke or a means of correction or a standard of living for everybody. So when I come to rebuke somebody, and I should have some biblical basis for this rebuke. It shouldn't be something because I don't like what you're doing, or I don't like how, you know, whatever, this is my opinion of it. But it should be, there should be some basis, some biblical basis for it. So, and this is what St. Paul said to Timothy as well. He says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So it is for reproof, correction, and instruction. So that's one blade. The other side faces me. And this is the Word of God. When we read it, it reveals to me my weaknesses. It reveals to me my sins. You can easily tell the person that comes to confession and has like maybe one thing to confess outside of the little children, that has one thing to confess or maybe two. It shows that they don't read the Bible because they don't see themselves. And the Bible teaches us that the scripture is like a mirror in which we look at it and we see ourselves in it. So if we want to truly purify ourselves and become pure, we have to read the scripture. We have to read the Bible. This is the Word of God. This is how God speaks to us. If we want to hear His voice, we have to listen or read the Holy Scriptures. So the first power is that it's living and active. The second is that it's sharp like a two-edged sword. The third power of the Word of God is that it carries the authority of God. The Word of God, Scripture itself, carries the authority of God. If you look at St. Peter, after he had just finished denying the Lord three times, and the Lord came and reconciled him and restored him to his apostleship, after Christ ascended, he said a sermon, one sermon, very simple and basic sermon, and 3,000 people believed and were baptized in that day. Could we say that this was because of St. Peter's eloquence? If you read the sermon, it's very, you know, it's very simple. No, but it's the power of the Word of God. It has the authority of God Himself. If you look at the president's word carries his authority only up to his ability. The president's word only carries the authority up to his ability. His word cannot infringe on Egypt or on another country, because that's not in his ability. That's not in his domain. But the Word of God is everything, the whole universe, from the depths of the sea to the earth, to my friends, to the hearts of my family, to the birds of the air, to the universe, to the stars, to the comets. All of these things are in his domain. His authority is boundless. His authority is endless. So the Word of God carries the authority of God, which is unlimited. If you look at Philip, when he preached the Ethiopian eunuch, it says in the book of Acts, then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. St. Philip preached the Word of God to the Ethiopian eunuch and converted him. He didn't display any miraculous sign before him. Unfortunately, many people believe that the power of Christianity lies in miracles. This is a very false notion. The power of Christianity is not in the miracles, but the power of Christianity is in the Word of God. And that's why when the Lord Christ, in his final commission to the disciples in Matthew 28, He told them, go baptize all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He didn't tell them at this moment to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cleanse the lepers. He told them that already in the beginning. But here, before he ascends to heaven, he tells them to teach and to preach the word. And in this is the power of God, because it carries his authority. If you look at Pharaoh saw many miracles, but it didn't change his heart. We think that if we see miracles, it'll make me believe and strengthen my faith, but actually it's the Word of God that will strengthen our faith more than any miracle will. The Word of God is also powerful because it grants us peace. It grants us peace. Many people in the world today are in search of peace in their life, and search for every other means outside of the Word of God, and they can't find it. Their soul doesn't find rest outside of God, because He is its creator. It's just like a child who is, you know, is very uptight, maybe because the infant is hungry. But as soon as he hears the mother's voice, he begins to be consoled, because he knows what food is coming on the way. It's the same. When we become anxious for whatever reason that's in our life today, we should have this relationship with the Bible, with Scripture, that I feel that I turn to the Bible, I turn to God and His words for refuge and peace in my life. So this is actually a power. The power to give us peace is something that the whole world is searching after, but oftentimes can't find it, because it lies in the Word of God. If you look at Joshua, who followed this great prophet Moses all of his life, and it was kind of like, you know, just there in his shadows, learning from him. And all of a sudden he wakes up one day and finds Moses passed away. And God telling him, you're up, Joshua. You know, if I was in his shoes, I'd be terrified. But listen to what he says in the first chapter. The Lord tells him, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and be of good courage. So the word of God gave Joshua the comfort and gave him the courage to continue. Just as Moses led the people, he as well did. But it's through the power of the word of God, it gave him peace of heart. Also, St. Paul in Corinth, he was frightened at first to go to Corinth, but then God revealed to him and says, go and preach, for I have many believers in this city. And from the word of God, it gave St. Paul peace, and he ended up staying in Corinth for a year and a half to preach. So it gave him peace. Try it. Try it. This is a challenge. Whenever you're scared, whenever you feel like you don't have peace in your life, revert to Scripture. Try reading the Scripture. And you'll find that the peace, that the power within Scripture to give us peace, will also fill your life with peace as well. And lastly, the power of the Holy Scripture lies in its ability to protect us from the trickeries of Satan. It can help us to maybe see the tricks of Satan before they happen. If you recall, Satan's trap tried to lure David in to killing Saul. David was in the recesses of the cave, he and his men, and Saul came, you know, to take care of his business in the same cave and then fell asleep. And the men of David said, this is your opportunity. Go, kill your adversary, kill your enemy. And actually, if you think about it logically, this is a great opportunity. Some of us might even think, hey, does God put this right in my hand? Put him right in front of me and put him to sleep, and I have the sword and he's asleep. This must be God's will for me to kill him. But what was it that David recalled? The Lord forbid that I should do this thing against my master, the Lord's anointed. See, he remembered that the Lord commanded that we shouldn't lay our hand on the Lord's anointed. So the word of God protected him from this snare that was very tempting of Satan. It protected him. It is also said in the Psalms that the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God enlightens my path so that I may see the stumbling blocks of Satan that are before me. Some people believe that the Holy Spirit will remind us of what God wants to tell us, regardless of whether we read the Scripture or not. This is based on the verse in John chapter 14. It says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. So, one of the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring to our remembrance the things that God had said, the Lord had said. But if there's nothing in our memory for the Holy Spirit to work with, what will it pull from? Is it going to show us a hologram in the sky? I've never heard of that. In order, we have to empower the Holy Spirit with the Word of God in our mind. So in the time of trouble and tribulation, in the time that we need to speak the Word, it will bring to our memory the appropriate words of God. But if there are no words in here, there's nothing that it can bring to our memory. It can't recall anything. Memory means that we've read it and we've learned it and it's here. So bringing to our remembrance, basically, it supposes that the material is in our mind. So we can't just depend, kida, on the Holy Spirit, not read the Bible, and then when I come into a discussion with my friends and they ask me about God, I have faith that the Holy Spirit will just tell me. And whatever comes to my mind, I say, and I attribute that to the Holy Spirit. No, that's not right. We have to put in our mind first the words of God. Do our part. Study, read, delve into Scripture. And then the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance what it is that He would like us to speak. So the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. It is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It carries the universal authority of God and grants us peace that surpasses understanding that the world cannot provide for us. It also protects us from the traps of Satan and all his trickeries. It is my desire and my yearning today that all of us, if we don't have a relationship with Scripture, begin one. Begin one. Read the Scripture. Begin from the Gospels and get to know who the Lord is, how He worked, how He loved, what His promises are to me. And believe me, this will change our life and will give us peace and will lead us to salvation, as the Holy Scripture has told us. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.